We are talking with Gerald Lawless. He is the executive chairman of Jumeirah Group. Gerald, many, many thanks indeed for staying with us.
Thank you, Richard.
We're going to get on in a second to your work with the World Travel and Tourism Council and also the World Economic Forum. You're off to Davos in a second. Quickly, we've had an SMS in about the restaurant business, and someone is not necessarily happy with the high-end restaurant business, saying Dubai, expensive food, poor service. This is not Jumeirah hotels, just generally high-end restaurants in the city. Expensive food, poor service, average quality. It's cheaper to eat in London. Do you really think there are more people eating out with more money to spend? Someone disagrees with your comments about appetite for high-end restaurants in Dubai.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're very confident. It doesn't happen by accident. You have to certainly deliver quality. You have to deliver value for money. And I thoroughly disagree with the point about saying there's poor service in Dubai. And I'm not talking either about Jumeirah. I think Dubai as a city offers very good service. And I don't always eat in Jumeirah hotels. I don't always eat in hotel restaurants. But I do find that, by and large, the service is excellent. And so far we're seeing, yes, it is sustainable, but it is competitive. But if it's competitive, that's good for the consumer. It's got to be good for them. It makes us all work harder.
Let's talk about your work with organisations like the World Economic Forum. You're off to Davos tomorrow. You're part of the aviation, travel and tourism bit of the World Economic Forum. Tough couple of years for the tourism industry, but it is fighting back, isn't it?
It is fighting back, and I think it's fighting very strongly to really assert itself, to be taken more seriously, particularly by governments, as a really important industry. At the moment, the industry would be travel and hospitality employs approximately 235 million people across the world. Again, between 8 and 10% of the world's labour directly employed in the industry. It doesn't take into account the multiplying factor. Also, I think what governments really do ignore is the benefit of travel and tourism. To example, in this case, Spencer Durham's there. That's a direct export from the UK, and it's a very easy way to earn it. Through the economy extremely rapidly, it's cash up front. Industry that is labour intensive, and certainly nowadays we talk about jobs. I think that our industry has more to offer than most.
So what would be your message when you're at the World Economic Forum tomorrow? You say you want governments to take you as an industry more seriously. Have governments perhaps taken tourism for granted in the past?
Yes, most governments do, and it's something that we've been trying to persuade governments to do. You could also see that in places like the UK, every time somebody wakes up in the government, they say, oh, well, let's tax travellers. And again, it can now cost you up to £240 in tax to travel to this part of the world, or indeed on to Australia. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous.
Just on airfares?
Yes, but it's on tax. And then this tax, does it go back into the promotion of the industry? No, it doesn't. I think it was very interesting to read the remarks of the CEO of IATA on the local newspaper today, talking about why do governments feel they have to protect their so-called legacy airlines. To us, we believe that airlines really are they're commercial businesses. And I'm sure Emirates would agree very strongly with that, with their current dilemma with the Canadian government, where they are trying to do business into Canada. And because of vested interests, whatever they may be, it's impossible for them to do so. And we really think within the aviation, travel and tourism industry that if an airline passes all its various security and safety standards, and if an investor wants to fly his aircraft to an airport, and if the airport has the capacity and the willingness to accept that aircraft, well, then why shouldn't it? Why should anybody be allowed to protect their local industry? This, to me, is not really what world free trade is about.
How about the hotel industry? Is that a little bit freer, or do you sometimes come up against these obstacles when you're looking to enter a market, when you're looking to negotiate a hotel contract? It's perhaps not quite as sensitive as the airline industry.
No, it's not at all, and it's a good example, actually, of how it should be. I mean, after all, can you imagine if we had to get hotel rights to go into Canada or to go into America on the basis, did we give a Canadian hotel company rights to build a hotel in Dubai? I mean, it would just be ridiculous, but it's the same kind of situation. So no, we're actually usually quite welcome, and in fact particularly luxury brands and international brands, not just luxury I must admit, are very well received in places like China, and particularly emerging and developing countries where they really do want to have the top class international brands in their country.
A couple of potential criticisms that your industry faces, the hotel industry in particular, is one, environmentally. Mm-hmm. Hotels tend to absorb a lot of stuff. They throw away a lot of food, they wash a lot of dishes, and you know the argument.
Sure.
And another one is people. People who work in hotels, a lot of them work very long hours for not particularly high wages. Again, that's a Jumeirah thing. It's an industry thing. How valid are these criticisms and what can be done about the issues?
Well, first of all, as far as the environment is concerned, we have a huge responsibility for the environment, and we have to ensure that we continuously recycle as much as we can. And actually, if you think about it, things like cooking oil, we in Jumeirah, we recycle tons of cooking oil every year. Then if you look at our landscaping, we're actually piped into the grey water as it goes around Dubai. So that's recycled water that we use for all of our gardens. So I think on the environmental side, we're becoming much more aware, very proactive in what we're doing, recognising our responsibilities, because we want our travellers, we want our guests to stay with us without feeling guilty about actually having travelled or staying in a hotel. And that also links in very much. You know, our business depends on people. It depends on two people, our guests, and so importantly, it depends on our employees, our colleagues, as we call them in Jumeirah. And if our colleagues are not happy, if they're being unnecessarily exploited, if they're not being paid a fair wage, they're not going to deliver the service to the guests. And we do work hard within the industry to improve our image, recognising that we are a labour-intensive industry. But on the other side, as I said earlier, we are a jobs provider, and we provide the means from very many people to improve their lives, because so many people within the hotel industry actually come from a very low level to a very high level within the industry and work at very basic jobs, eventually coming into more senior levels. So I think we have a good story to tell as well.
The bigger picture, understanding the story behind the success.
Well, finally now, we get on to the seven questions that we ask all of our guests on The Bigger Picture. Gerald Lawless, Executive Chairman of Jumeirah Group, my first question to you is, which business leader would you invite for dinner at one of the 114 restaurants that you have here in Dubai?
Well, because he's very topical at the moment, and I admire the way that he has really stuck to the case and where he has shown great leadership. I have a lot of time for Willie Walsh of British Airways.
Why?
Not only because he's Irish.
Do you know him well?
Not that well, but I have sat at lunch with him a couple of times, yes.
And it's a tough, some of the challenges he's facing. It's a legacy airline. You talked about them before,
yes.
And I read just yesterday that cabin crew are going on strike again. He has enormous challenges, doesn't he? The legacy of an old European carrier is incredibly difficult. I guess you, working for a more modern, streamlined organisation such as Jumeirah, have few of those challenges.
Yes, but I think that he has seen, you know, he's up against competition from airlines such as Emirates Airlines, and to see what they can achieve in such a short space of time. And he realises what he has to do to ensure that, I mean, after all, his airline's a public company. They've now done their amalgamation with Iberian, and I believe they're talking to American as well. So he's got a tough task, but I just admire the way that he approaches it.
What's the best business book you've ever read?
Well, it's not a business book as such, but one of the best books I have read in relation to how I would like to run business and lessons to be learned is a great book by a professor of history from Columbia University called Lewis Gaddis, who wrote a book called The Cold War. And in writing about that, he talked about how unusual it was that you had people like President Reagan and Margaret Thatcher coming into power in the 1980s. And at that time, détente was everything was about communism. They were trying to take down communism in the West, and communism was trying to thrive in Russia and the ex-Soviet Union. And Reagan did not agree with détente. He thought it was too much appeasement. And his attitude was, or his famous saying was, that détente is what farmers have with turkeys until Thanksgiving.
The best advice you've been given?
The best advice I've been given, I must say, is from my parents, and that is have self-belief and belief in what you can do, believe in what you can do and what you can achieve for yourself and for other people.
What's your favourite business gadget?
As we call it at home, my second wife, the BlackBerry, unfortunately.
Why is it your favourite? Do you like it, or is it a necessary evil?
No, I like it because it keeps me communicated. I can have my own Gmail on it, which is my private stuff. I can have my work email on it. It just works. It keeps me connected. It does virtually everything that I would want a handset like that to do. So I think it's been great. Particularly, you can file your emails. You can keep them into your folders. You really can do as much as you need to do while you're on the road and while you're traveling.
What do you look for when hiring staff? And you hire an awful lot of staff.
We hire a lot of people, and what I look for is attitude. You can train people, you can do whatever you want with them, but if they don't have the right attitude to begin with, it is hard to train attitude in people. So I look for the friendly, positive, can-do attitude.
Which business achievement, Gerald, gives you the most satisfaction?
Without a doubt, and I thank His Highness Sheikh Mohammed for this, as the opportunity to have been able to, with a fantastic team, to have been able to develop Jumeirah into a world-recognised luxury hotel brand that our peers recognise as a competitor on the scene.
And finally, which big idea will shape your industry over the next decade?
It's not a big idea, but it's a big movement, and it's called China. We reckon with the WTTC that China will provide 100 million outbound travellers before 2020. We're really looking forward to that.
Gerald Lawless, Executive Chairman of Jumeirah, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on The Bigger Picture.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Richard.